Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Some 18 to 20 years or so after the Apostle Paul received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior on that road to Damascus, some 20 years after the Lord turned his life around, Paul wrote a letter to a group of believers in the city of Rome. A letter that is perhaps the most detailed summary of our faith that has ever been written. A letter that was inspired by God. And it is in this letter of Romans that Paul helps us not only to understand the doctrine of our faith, the teaching concerning the grace that God has shown to us, but he helps us understand the grace that the Lord had shown to him. In this letter, Paul reveals his heart. He reveals his love for Christ and for the people around him. And he helps us to understand the struggles that he faced. Struggles he faced before he knew the Lord, and struggles that he faced even after he came to know him. And as we have been looking at the first 13 verses of Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul has given us a glimpse into the struggles that he faced before he came to know Christ, before he had a knowledge of the truth concerning Christ. In my heart, in my mind, he tells us, beginning at verse 7, I was consumed by lust. Paul doesn't tell us what he was lusting after, but he does make it clear that he was powerless to purge his life of that sin. And the more that he tried, the worse that it got. Because this sin only fed his weakness. He was bound by that sin. And even as he went to the Word of God, he was convicted of that sin even more. He learned that obedience, that uprightness before God comes from the heart, comes from the inside out. And Paul says, when I finally saw that truth, I saw the way God looked at me. I saw the way he looked at my sin. I saw that I stood condemned before a holy and a righteous God. Outwardly, I was attempting to keep the law. I was attempting to obey the commandments of God. But inwardly, I was in rebellion. I was in rebellion to that law, and I was unable to break free. He was like many people today who think that God will accept our acts of religious activity while in their heart they're still in rebellion against him, because they have never come to Christ. They have never come to him for the forgiveness of their sin. But now, Paul proclaims, now, in Christ, I have been freed of that bondage. Free to serve him. Not in our own strength, but through the power of the Spirit of God who lives in those who truly belong to Christ. Paul contends that it was the law, it was the commandments of God that are found in his word that enlightened me to that truth. Shows us how far short we fall, how we don't measure up to the standard of God's perfection. The word of God is the measuring stick by which we measure our lives. And if we will honestly look at his word, We will see, we will understand that our situation is hopeless. And then we will run to Christ. And we will ask for the forgiveness that he offers to us. But like Paul, we won't see our need. We won't see the seriousness of our sin without the law of God, without understanding his commandments. It is his word that brings our sin to our attention. For we know this, Paul says in verse 14 of Romans chapter 7. Oida. We have come to realize, I have come to realize this fact, that the law of God, his word, is spiritual. Pneumatikos. It's the very breath of God. It originates from him. It's energized by him. So that now we who belong to Christ, now through him, we have the ability, finally we have the ability to obey his law, to obey his word. So now, we should not allow sin to exert its influence over us. We shouldn't allow it to exercise its control over us. We shouldn't yield ourselves as instruments, weapons of unrighteousness, but we should yield ourselves to God as instruments, weapons of righteousness, as those who are alive from the dead, submitting ourselves to God in Christ. But, Paul tells us in verse 14, there is still a problem. And the problem is this. I am of flesh. Sarkinos. I have a physical body. And my body is rooted, and it is very much at home in this world. My body likes it here. I'm no longer in the flesh, as he told us in verse 5. In the flesh, before I knew Christ, I'm no longer driven by my sin. I'm no longer driven down that path, living as if God didn't exist, living according to my sinful passions, ignoring what is right, preferring what is wrong. Though that is true. Still, I cannot deny this fact, Paul tells us. I'm mortal. I'm flesh and blood. And though I'm not enslaved to sin any longer, though I am a new creation in Christ, still, my flesh is sold. Piprasko. My flesh has been exported for sale. Sometimes I can't even believe that I'm being carried away by the sin. I'm aware. Aware that I am still prone to do what is wrong. I have a tendency, a propensity, to fall back into sin. Yes, we are a new creation in Christ. But we are a new creation that is still wrapped in flesh. And sometimes we find ourselves, Paul says, in bondage to sin. That it is a battle. That it is a struggle that we must face. We may no longer love the world, but there are times when we are enticed by the things of the world. And in our weakness, in the weakness of our flesh, we are lured into sin. And many times that's where the enemy attacks us, isn't it? He attacks us at our point of weakness. So we must remember nothing good dwells in our flesh. And that is true. Paul tells us in verse 15, and the evidence of that truth He says, the things which I am doing, katergazomai, what I seem to be producing and bringing forth in my life, I always don't understand. Genosko. Sometimes I can't even believe what I'm saying. I can't even believe what I'm doing. I don't even recognize sometimes the source of the things that I'm doing in my life. I don't see. I'm dull in my understanding. Blinded even by my sin. For I am not practicing praso. I am not undertaking to accomplish what I would like to do, fellow, what I have in mind, what I really want to do, what I know in my heart is the right thing to do. But I am doing, he says, poieo, I am bringing forth the very thing that I hate, miseo, things I detest. Sometimes I hate what I see in my life. I know. I understand that these things don't bring glory to Christ. I understand they're not worthy of Him. Does this sound familiar? The longer we walk with the Lord, the more mature we are in Him, the more clearly we will see our sin. We will see it in contrast to the blinding light of the glory and the majesty and the goodness of God. Just as the prophet Isaiah saw it, didn't he? Isaiah stood before the throne of God and he saw his sin as he looked on the Lord of glory in Isaiah chapter 6. And what did he say? Woe is me! I'm ruined! I'm a man of unclean lips. We are all men and women of unclean lips. We all fall short. And Paul affirms that in verse 16 where he says, if I do the very thing that I do not wish, what I do not want to do, but I do it anyway, then I agree with the law. Sumpeni. I'm speaking the very same thing as the law of God. I'm confessing together with God, declaring that I agree with Him, that the law of God is right. The law of God is good. Kalos. It is excellent. It is beautiful. It is morally sound. The law of God is not the problem. Paul says, I'm the problem. But Paul reminds us that it is who I am in Christ. That's not the problem. Who I am in Christ is not the problem. Where is the problem? The problem is in my flesh, Paul says. But at least I know that I am His, because now my sins, now my shortcomings, now my failures grieve me like they never grieved me before. I agonize over them now. So now a new situation exists, Paul says. I am no longer ukethe. I am no longer who I was. Who I once was is in the past. And the past is gone. So now, no longer am I the one who is doing it. Now I am no longer the one who is sinning. In Adam, who I was, the one who was born in sin, that man is dead now. That man is dead and gone. My sin's been nailed to the cross. But I also recognize this fact and this truth that sin, harmatia, my tendency to wander away from the truth, to wander off the path. That inclination still indwells me. Enorkeo, in Greek. It still finds a home in me. Sometimes we welcome it home, don't we? Sometimes we invite it in to stay for a while. For I know, I realize this, Paul says in verse 18, nothing good, agathos, nothing kind, nothing useful, dwells in me. But Paul is quick to explain what he means by that statement. He says in verse 18, let me clarify what I mean. Nothing good resides in me, that is, in my flesh, sarx, in my body. That's the place where we are still vulnerable to attack. So the battle goes on. For the wishing, he says, the desire in my mind, the desire of my heart is present, parakimai. I bring it to my side. It's important to me. This desire is close to me. It's the priority of my life. My deepest desire is to please the Lord. But the doing of the good, he says, kalos, constantly living in a way that brings praises to God, that is not always what takes place in my life. For the good, agathos, the goodness, the kindness that I wish to do, that I know I should do, that I want to do. So sometimes I just do not do it. I haven't become perfect. It reminds us in Philippians chapter 3. Teleo, I haven't been brought to completion. I'm still a work in progress. So I press on, Paul said there. Just like we who know and love the Lord press on in our desire to please him, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're reminded by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3. But despite my desire, despite my good intentions, despite my love for Christ, Paul confesses in verse 19, sometimes in my weakness, in the weakness of my flesh, I practice, praso, I undertake to follow the very evil, kalos, the destructive thinking, the feelings, the actions, that I do not wish to follow. But I, verse 20 says, this flesh which surrounds me sometimes wars against me. So sometimes I am doing the very thing that I do not wish to do. But I, who I am in Christ, am no longer the one doing it. Who's doing it, Paul? It says in verse 20, it's sin. My propensity. My inclination to sin. Oh, even in a harsh word. Even into a unkind thought. That tendency still dwells in me and seems to be at home in me. Sin. Which is still hanging on in our flesh, trying to pull us down. Our redeemed spirit may long for God, but our unredeemed flesh seems to long for sin. So I find this, Paul says, horisko. After examining the facts and evaluating them thoroughly, I've come to see this then, that there is a reality that I must face. The reality that is true for all of us, even though we belong to Christ. this reality, this principle, he said, nomos, this law, this spiritual reality, is that evil, kakos, wretchedness and destructiveness, is still present, parakamai. It is still at our side. It is ever present, even at the door, poised and waiting in me, in my flesh. Yes, he says, even in the one who wishes to do good. That's a warning, isn't it? Isn't that a warning to all of us who know Christ to be on guard? Because sin doesn't take a holiday. Sin doesn't take a vacation. And sin never takes a break. Any of us can fall into sin, into disobedience. Paul agrees, verse 22. He says, I joyfully concur. I delight in this fact. I stand as one with the truth, in agreement with the law of God. As the psalmist in Psalm 119 pointed out, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies more than in riches. I delight in thy commandments, which I love. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And deep within my spirit, Paul says, in the inner man, eso, within my soul, within my spirit, within my conscience, I agree with that. That is the desire of my heart. My soul hungers and it thirsts for the righteousness of God to be made manifest in me. That's what I want. But Paul cries out in verse 23, but I see, blepo, I am painfully aware of a different law, heteros, a different kind of principle, another influence that is continually at work in me. It's attacking me. It's attacking where? He says, in the members, melos, in my body, in the various parts of my body, waging war even, ante stratomai, encamped. It's encamped like an army encamps, continually engaged in a military campaign against me, fighting against the law of my mind, opposing what I know is right, what I know is true, what I know is good, according to the Word of God. Once again, that's another warning to us, isn't it? A warning of the relentless power of sin to distort the truth, to cloud our vision and our understanding. Sometimes even, Paul says, making me, like malotizo, capturing me as a prisoner of the law of sin, which is, he says in verse 23, in my members, in my body, in my unredeemed flesh. And sometimes, seems like that's where the war is being won. I don't seem to have the victory that I know I have in Christ. Oh, he says, wretched man that I am, talaporos, I am afflicted, I am distressed, I am miserable. Who will set me free? Who am I? Who will rescue me? A word that was sometimes used to describe a soldier who would go onto the battlefield to rescue a wounded comrade. Who will help me? Who will help me and deliver me from the body of this death, my mortal body, which is subject to death and to sin? Now the answer, of course, the only answer to his anguish and to his grief is our only answer. It comes from above. Thanks be to God, Paul says in verse 25, that deliverance comes by his grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. One day we will enter into his presence, and on that day, the battle will be over. The victory is already ours in Christ. We know that. But for now, the struggle goes on. But please remember this. This struggle does not go on for everyone. This is only a struggle for those who desire to glorify Christ. This is a struggle that is only there for those who desire to live for him. For now, Paul says, on the one hand, I myself, who I am in Christ, in my mind, I'm serving the law of God. I want to serve God. But, he says, on the other hand, with my flesh, sarx, with my body, I am still battling the law of sin. But there is victory in Christ. We know that. Paul knew that. So, that is why we long for him. That is why we long for him to return. We wait for him. And the closer we get to him, the more that we desire to please him. The more we want to serve him. The more that we love him. The more we do not want to disgrace him. But the closer that we get to him, the more that we see how far short we fall. And so, like Paul, we agonize as Paul agonized. The more we long to be with him, that we might worship him in the perfection, in the glory that is due his name forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.